Welcome to The Cult Sharp, your campy, irreverent source for retro fun. We love 80s horror, comedy and sci-fi. We also love talking about these great films. Sometimes we stay on topic, other times not so much. So pop in a VHS tape, adjust the tracking, and join in on the conversation.
Hey!
Hi there!
If you're hearing and seeing this, that's good.
That's an improvement.
We've been having technical difficulties here in the basement. So if it cuts out, sorry, it's a live show, people. The fuck you want.
Yep, we're only as good as our internet. And today we're not very good, apparently.
Also, having technical difficulties is Caleb, who is ill.
Oh, Caleb.
So pour one out for Caleb.
Yep. Not in front of the carpet, but poor Caleb is not feeling well.
No. So just know all that. That's like our little preamble. That's like, you know, just know that going in, that all these things are happening. But what else is happening is Italian, British, American horror film Cemetery Man.
Italian with British actors.
There's like one American, too.
Is it an American? Okay, cool.
I thought the detective was an American.
Oh my God, was he really?
I think he was.
Because he was hecka dubbed over.
Yeah.
Okay.
So who knows where this movie came from. We're just going to celebrate that it's here and that it's not Waterworld. in that order.
Zing! That's you get Caleb for not being here.
Sorry about it. Sorry, not sorry.
Hey, so real quick, we want to say hello to everyone in the chat before, because I have a feeling as the show ends, it won't be possible because we have a special game planned and it might not be able to see the monitor.
We got a game plan.
Yes, we do. So hello to Miss Movie Buff, Laura, and Horror Movie Addict, Mindy, Tommy Lavette. Mm-hmm. Mark was in there as well.
Yeah.
Hello, Mark. And if I'm missing anyone else, I'm sorry because I can only see three names on the monitor right now.
I want to shout out the Turkey Lurkies.
Always got to do that.
Absolutely. I love and the people that watch late.
Yeah.
The podcast people who don't watch at all.
Right. We encourage you to watch, but you know, it's okay.
It's not required. You're still going to pass the test. You're still going to ace the course.
We still love you guys very much. Podsters, you guys are the greatest. And hey, you podsters in Fiji, you know what? You've kept us at number two for the last week.
Oh my God.
On film review. So thank you very much.
Saved Fiji.
Thank you. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
On that note, there's Caleb in chat.
There's Caleb. On that note.
Cheers. Well, I suppose we would be remiss to not say happy International Women's Day.
Oh, yeah. Is that
today?
That happened.
Today.
I'm not an international woman, so I didn't know.
You're not even a national woman.
I'm not.
Well, you know what? You can't win them all.
I can't.
Not your fault.
I tried, but they kicked me out.
So, yeah, we love that.
Round of applause.
And it's also Women's History Month, and it's also kind of this sort of newly minted-ish Women in Horror Month.
Right.
We're on that later, because we are going to have a pick relevant, but you got to wait till the end to hear it.
We're just celebrating everything woman, right?
As well it should
be. That's right.
Go ahead.
Did you do anything? Did you watch anything this week?
A lot of the same old, same old. A lot of my RuPaul. You know, nothing like thrilling. Except since last we spoke, we finished True Detective Season 4.
We have. We did.
I have no notes. I loved it. I thought it was freaking awesome. So to producer Scott, any notes?
No notes.
Yeah. We're very, very happy. Loved the teeny tiny tie-ins to Season 1.
I didn't know that until someone in my office who remembers things, said there's some tie-ins to part one with regards to the symbol, and apparently Matthew McConaughey's father or something.
Yeah.
So I have to go back and rewatch that now.
And also, like, when he says time's a flat circle, they say that in season four, too.
Yeah.
Well, I can't forget the spirals because I'm obsessed.
Are you spiraled?
Okay. I love it. I love spirals so much. I am just like besotted. But did you like all about season four? Were you all about it?
Oh yeah, no, I loved it. I
liked the end. Yeah.
No, I liked the end. It was. I mean, if
it's ambiguous.
Yeah, and well, I mean, there's that, but it's not that it's kind of weird because, like, I loved it, and I honestly thought it was just a fantastic season of content. I don't want to call it content, of many movies,
art.
Yes. So I was digging on the supernatural aspects that were kind of like being hinted at.
Sure.
Not even hinted at, but the fact that, you know, people are seeing ghosts.
There is supernatural to this.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the ending being that it wasn't quite that. Mm-hmm. I still love that.
Yes.
But I was kind of like going, okay. But I was also kind of hoping maybe there was some weird, you know, huge supernatural thing going on. However, what I do want to know is the tongue. Do we know what are our thoughts on the tongue? Do you have thoughts?
I believe the tongue is supernatural.
Okay.
Was supernaturally placed.
Supernaturally placed tongue.
It could okay. It could be argued that it wasn't. Like, you know, people have made that argument that it, you know.
Okay.
But that's kind of fun sometimes when things have, like, supernatural or not supernatural explanations.
Yeah.
But I lean, hey, if I have a choice, I'm going to go supernatural.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. But yeah, it was, I mean, you said just delivered on every front.
Can't wait for season five.
The writing, the direction. Yeah, everything. So
we knew she wouldn't let us down.
No, we knew. I had no – I mean, now it's almost like her and Mr. Flanagan.
Yeah.
It's like
– Flanny.
They can just keep giving me my episodic, you know, television now.
Absolutely. And we will keep coming back.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of good movies opening, good horror movies. That's what kind of reminded me of that is people not steering us wrong. And kind of horror adjacent, like the Love Lies Bleeding. They're pushing that hard on me on social media. It's A24.
Yeah.
It's Rose Glass,
who
I love. If you haven't seen St. Maud, it's one of my favorite movies. And what's the one? Immaculate.
Yes, okay.
And then Osgood Perkins, who's somebody who I would like do a trust fall with because I've loved every movie he's made.
Okay.
He's got a new one coming out this year.
Which one is it? Do you remember?
No, okay. It's got kind of like, it's got a hella creepy little teaser trailer.
Oh.
Yeah. Oz Perkins.
We watched it, right? Mm. I mean, and there's the one with the little girl who's a vampire and taken into the home.
Abigail.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Love that.
Yeah, that looks pretty cool.
We have a lot to look forward to. We have a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. It's not Thanksgiving.
It's not Thanksgiving. That's right.
But you know what it is? It's Neil's least favorite time.
It is on this Sunday. This Sunday. I don't even want to think. It gives me chills. It makes the boys retreat. I'm not a happy fan.
It's so. Spring.
God dang it. I mean, the clocks go forward. I hate that day so much.
I know. It's the end of our winter, winter's tale.
it's the spring of my discontent.
That's right. That's right. I said that yesterday. Also, just a little happy shout out to, we were chatting about this on our text message thread, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, also turning 50 this year. Some people at Cult Show are in good company. And, it's going to be screened at the MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art, in New York this year. And it's going to be entered into their permanent film archives.
Very nice.
And, like, I've always, you know, argued about TCM as an art film.
Yes, you have.
And I'm just like, yeah, because fucking art. Here it is. The MoMA. I'm not the only one who thinks that, clearly.
Yep.
So I'm just so happy that it gets love, even with all the questionable remakes that seem to have no fucking end in sight.
Yeah.
So happy for Leatherface, especially when he wears the mother face.
Mother face
is my favorite face.
And look forward that to screen at the Cult Film Series at some point this year as well. Probably in October when it was the month it was released originally.
I am going to be there hours early.
You will be there with mother face on.
Sure will, but I'm going to be there, like, hours early just to make sure, like, I'm going to buy my ticket as soon as I can. I'm going to be, like, kicking people to get out of my way. Stoked.
Good. All right, cool.
How about you? What'd you do?
Okay, we talked about that. Well, I can tell you that I'm really happy that the Super Tuesday is finally over because this Rusty Hicks guy's kept taking over my goddamn YouTube internet, you know?
You're like, pushing him hard?
Yeah, I'm like, dude. Okay, I get it. Every 3 seconds or whatever, you bought a lot of YouTube time. I get it. Get the hell off my god dang feed.
Oh my god, for me, it's the text messages.
No, really?
Oh, they just never stop.
Nikki Haley will not leave me alone. Oh. But I guess she will now.
I've heard, right?
How did you end up on Nikki Haley's list?
Nikki was just like, hey, girl, like, let's get together. Let's do this. And I was like, Nikki Haley? It was almost like a Ouija board when they come through on the text message.
I know, that's kind of weird.
Neil, right? How are you not paying for YouTube Premium at this point?
I don't know.
YouTube is insufferable without YouTube Premium.
It's pretty hard. It is. It's getting worse. It actually is getting worse, I've noticed. But when you already subscribe to so many goddamn channels.
I mean, there was a video I had to pull up at work to try and figure out how to do something. And it just like... It felt like 5 minutes later, I was finally watching the video. It was ridiculous.
Might as well be Freevee or Tubi.
I'm just figuring at some point they're going to realize, oh, wait, you're the cult show? We'll give you free YouTube Premium.
Sure, honey. That'll happen.
Thank you.
YouTube one Max. One day we'll get our diamond play button.
YouTube Plus. What is it called? What's the
YouTube Hulu.
YouTube Max Plus. Anyway, you know what I started watching for real finally was that cute little TV show Ghosts?
The British or the American?
The American one.
We watched a couple episodes. We loved it. We just have never gone back, and we don't know why.
Yeah, it's cute.
It is cute.
I was trying to find a show. I started watching it like a year and some odd ago, and then whatever reason stopped. And then my son has been coming around more, so I was trying to find something he can watch and that we can all watch together. Because he's not a huge fan of the horror.
Yeah, your family.
As you guys know.
Your family doesn't horror. Yeah.
No. So anyway, so we've been watching that. We got through season one. It's a fun little show.
It's something nice to do with the family.
It is. Absolutely. And then that's about it. I do want to – we had a contest. Do you recall our contest for the drive-away dolls?
Do I ever.
So we had the contest. It ended as 11:59 p.m. yesterday. So I just wanted to congratulate our two winners, which are Maritza A. Maritza, congratulations. She is a local, and I do believe I know Maritza. I think Caleb and I both know her, actually, if it's the same one. And Raymond S. of Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, my God.
That's right. I have to mail a package to Melbourne, Australia.
That's outrageous.
There's goes my dinner for the for my family for the
maybe
next
week. I should like throw in some
week.
Extra stuff if it's taking such a long trip.
Oh, maybe, but I can't weigh it down anymore.
Oh, that's true. It just costs more.
It costs more to Melbourne. Hey, Raymond, thank you for paying attention to us, whether it was on Instagram or however you found out about us. But congratulations. You guys will get emails to follow up as well.
That's awesome. And thank you for everybody who entered.
Yes, thank you so much, everyone. Yeah. And then finally, as Caleb would say, don't forget our merch. Check out our merch store, thecultshow.com/store.
I'm itching to add more things to the store.
Okay, we do.
I'm itching for it. Let's see if it happens.
It'll happen eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what do you think?
I think we should just do
this. Should we tease you guys with a new bumper?
It's the best bumper ever. And that was Jake of Jake's Flakes.
That was Jake. Jake making a little appearance.
So tonight's film is Cemetery Man, or also De La Muerte, De La Muerte?
Yeah.
Okay. From 1994, directed by Mikael Sogvi. Didn't look at pronunciations. Written by Gianni Romoli and Tiziano Scalavi, who wrote the novel. This is based on a novel.
Wow.
I'm going to read the novel.
Someone told me it was a graphic novel.
It might be.
Yesterday. So would that be the same thing, you think?
It might be, yeah.
Okay.
A cemetery keeper played by the amazing Rupert Everett has to kill the dead a second time.
Right.
So that's what...
That's it. That's all it's about.
Basically, we're going to get into the plot more, but that's kind of just the... That's your basic premise. He's the cemetery keeper. He lives there. And sometimes they come back.
Sometimes they do.
And so he's got to dispatch them along with his right-hand man, Nagi.
God love Nagi.
Now, is it true that Caleb sent in some thoughts?
He did. You want to start with him? Or?
Let's start with that because the Caleb is not in the room. Is it long? Do you want me to read some? And
no, it's not. You can read it all if you want. I just got to find out where he sent it from to.
Jesus.
Caleb, did you send it just to me? Or he did? Okay. Can you read that?
I did not receive it.
Okay.
My mini review by Caleb. Cemetery Man, or Della Morte, Della Muir, whatever the heck it wants to be called, left me feeling like I just stumbled into a fever dream. Rupert Everett's brooding performance and Anna Falchi's triple dose of sexiness couldn't quite save this flick. It had its moments, with echoes of Dylan Dog comics, a sad boy fighting monsters, but once you get to the impotence shot, I felt like I was the one who had been injected.
Ah.
It was visually impressive, but very much a head scratcher. And seriously, what's up with all that wind?
Okay.
So that's basically all you need to know from Caleb's point of view.
All right. Well,
why don't you start?
Okay. Why did I pick this film, you ask?
How many times have you seen this film? Why did you pick this film? Talk to us.
Yeah, okay. So the American Genre Film Archive, or the AGFA, is a group that has tons of independent films that they allow movie theaters to use, and I booked a bunch, you know, through them. And this one came up as a new release from them because Severin just did a restoration of the movie, and then they had it. So I watched it because the guy will always send me, hey, this is new.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and I went, oh my God, I thought this movie was great.
So you saw this recently?
Fairly recently. And then the minute I saw it, I said, okay, this is going to be a cult film series. This is going to be on our show because I just think, it'll spur, I think, a really fun conversation.
We're making t-shirts.
Caleb loves it so much, he's called out sick. That's how it goes,
Overcome.
Apparently.
With love.
I just adore this film. I thought it was visually a lot of fun. I thought the music was quirky and fun. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of wind. I like the wind.
He's like the wind.
I am like the wind. I am like Patrick Swayze and like the wind.
Yeah.
The movie went someplace that I had no idea was going to go.
Yeah.
You know, and for that, I like to give movies a little bit of a, you know, a little plot, a little, you know, good on you for taking me somewhere I wasn't expecting to go.
It's such a risk for like a movie or a book to like totally take the audience on a ride. And it's like, I do appreciate the gamble as well, always. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Yes.
But I do appreciate that it's like, wow, did not see that one coming. First time for me, I'd never heard of it. Nothing. I loved it. I absolutely fucking loved it. And Scott was like, oh. And we all watched it together last night at the Cult Film Series with friends. And Michael was there. And I was like, did I love it or did I hate it, Neil? Did I love it? Did I hate it?
Torturing me.
And Scott was like, he knew immediately. He's like, I knew you loved that movie. It's really weird. It's really absurd and surreal. But I like, you know, sometimes there's movies like the Naked Lunch movie where it's like, I hate the color palette. The weird noir just like doesn't work for me. But then there's like, I really do love absurdism as a philosophy. And I love the macabre, the macabre of this film. For me, it is just watching this man's slow descent into madness, which I tend to like stories like that. He's an unreliable narrator. He's an anti-hero. I love the vibe, the look of the film. I love it. It's like 1993 probably when they made this. So it's like very late 80s, early 90s. It's so stylized. It's very European, but like on a budget. Like it still feels like a budget the whole time. So it's got like a charm to it. And just the dryness. It's so dry and so macabre. I too liked The Wind because it was also part of the nice setting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked watching this man just spiral into oblivion. So yeah.
Awesome. I'm very happy. Thank goodness. Because yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just, I don't know why. This movie just spoke to me. And it's funny because it's Italian, so you've got the dubbing that we're used to seeing.
Oh, it's hilarious.
And some characters worse than others, you know, kind of thing. But none of them were enough that it distracted me.
Yeah.
Like it can happen sometimes.
Right.
But, I mean, there. Like you said, it's
Was there dubbing?
Yeah, there's a few people who are, like, really dubbed.
I actually did not catch that.
No, okay.
What did you think of the movie?
I really liked it. I really liked it. I think it's very weird. It's definitely weirder than like my normal go to kind of thing.
You don't really love surrealism.
It's not my favorite. And absurdism in particular, but it's just really well executed in a lot of ways, and it's beautiful cinematography.
Oh, there's some
and
great
it's
shots.
Very, very funny.
Right.
Even when it's really on the, at its weirdest, it's very funny.
Oh my God. Yeah, there was a few parts like that I could hear Scott laughing super hard, and I was like, that's a good
I had neighbors looking over to me at a couple points like, why is he being so loud? Like, which, you know,
you're like, I'm having a good goddamn time. I'm feeling childlike wonder and joy.
That's right.
Once in my goddamn life. and also I should say I love the concept too of you're like the cemetery keeper. You have this weird lonely life. It's kind of funny because I wasn't sure how he was going to treat Miyagi, but it actually turns out that they're like super besties. And,
right.
We'll get to that more at the end too. Something kind of very interesting happens.
Okay.
Hello, Rupert. We meet Rupert right away, in a towel.
Yes, he was in a towel.
He's in a towel. Because he doesn't time things great sometimes with these dead rising, I've noticed. And then there's like this man at the door who looks super cheesy dead. But apparently he could be deader.
Yeah, he could be deader. Absolutely. So you meet Rupert. First thing he is in a towel, opens up the door, shoots a guy in the head.
Yep. Like it's nothing.
That's it.
Yeah. Yep. And we just go rebury that one.
Yes.
And that's kind of what he and Miyagi spend a lot of their time doing is tending the cemetery, digging graves. Killing the dead people again, putting them back in their graves.
Yes.
It's a lonely, repetitive existence.
And keeping it a secret because they don't want to lose their jobs.
Yeah, they don't want to lose their jobs. Yeah. And who would believe them?
Right.
And, you know, it's like an illness. They said it's something that, like, plagues the dead. He doesn't know where it comes from. Like, we don't know why. And it seems that it's every 7 days, but it's not everybody.
No.
And then that kind of gets like, oh, shoot, something. But, you know, viruses morph.
Exactly. Yeah. None of those questions. And they live in a town called Buffalora.
What's up with that?
And they're in the Buffalora Cemetery.
Beautiful cemetery. Oh, my God. The cemetery is gorgeous.
Very nice. It is.
Some of the best, just like, again, but just that feel, that look, that feel of the film is just this gorgeous cemetery.
But gorgeous because it's old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It isn't like a well-kept. Cemetery.
It's kind of overgrown a little bit.
Yep.
I mean, they kind of try, but he and Nyagi aren't really trying that hard. Like,
I mean, Nyagi wants his leaves. We learned that, and he wants to get
his
leaves.
They're kind of doing the bare minimum so people just don't complain, I think, is more the idea.
Yeah.
The zombies have the decency to move slow, which is nice.
That's my
especially,
kind of zombie.
Especially when you don't have your gun on you.
Right. Absolutely. So Nyagi... like you said, his companion lives below him in the basement of his little
shack. They have like a shanty they live in.
Basically. They don't live particularly richly. They're not, you know.
No, well, I think they get paid very little.
But it does feel that way. But Nyagi is, how would you describe him? He has a limited vocabulary.
Limited vocabulary.
He runs to his own.
He's definitely marching to the beat of his own drum.
Right.
He's like a really kind-hearted, kind-souled person.
Yes.
Obsessed with dried leaves.
Obsessed with dried leaves. Looking for love in all the wrong places. and just kind of like, they're just kind of almost damned to this weird existence together.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind
of... I mean, we don't get the backstory of how they met and how they came to be, but...
Nope.
We just accept it as its own love story.
You're also kind of having to also accept, why is this British person who's supposed to be Italian living in this small Italian town?
That's true.
That's never explained. There's other British people and possibly one American living there.
Yeah. So they call him, for some reason, the engineer.
Oh, so funny. Everybody calls him an engineer.
I'm wondering, is that possibly what got him there, perhaps?
They thought he was because, an engineer.
Yeah, or, yeah, you know, yeah. They just figured, oh, he's British and he's
maybe
smart.
Maybe they looked at the wrong resume, like they interviewed the wrong person.
That could be.
Yeah.
That could absolutely be.
Yeah, so he's, and I love the little lady that comes to, like, yes. every day and talks to the ghosts or the graves or whatever.
Yeah, she and, has, her name was Pia? Yes, Pia. Her name is Pia.
And she calls him the engineer. He calls him
the engineer. They all, the mayor. It's like, oh, engineer.
So she turns up, and that's the character's name is She.
She, okay.
Turns up. She's mourning her husband, who he awkwardly says, oh, this must be your father. And she's like, no, it's my husband, and we had a great fucking life together. Like, never assume. Right. Never assume somebody's relationship. So he went in recently, and she's visiting his grave, and he just becomes, like, in love at first sight. And they have this hilarious insta-love that, I mean, is so silly because she also kind of instantly falls in love with him.
Right.
And then he's, like, trying to, like, get her to stay and talk to him one of these times, like, the second time he meets her. And he's like, we have a wonderful ostuary.
Yes.
And she's like, ostuary?
You do?
Girl after my own heart. Show me the ostuary, please. And if you don't know, ostuary is where you keep bones.
So when I first time I saw it, I had to immediately stop and look up that word.
You're like, wait a minute.
Because I'm like, oh, okay, hang on.
You're I left ostuaries?
Right, exactly. I didn't know. And I finally, once I figured out how to spell it enough that I could figure it out to look it up.
Ostrigery.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I got lots of Austria. I got lots of, you know.
Did you mean?
Anyway. Yeah. But, and I found my, like, okay, cool. That makes a lot of sense. Now I know. But it was a beautiful room.
It's beautiful. And we love that she loves the ostuary. Like I said, I was just like, did we just become best friends? Because I think we did. And then let's both veil ourselves and make out in the ostuary. Down. Like, absolutely down to do that.
But she's so funny how she's like, well, he's just died, so we can't really do this, but let's put, like, I got my veil on, and I'll put a blanket over your head, and we'll kiss through the blanket. It's just, again, there starts the weirdness of the film.
Exactly. And it's also macabre and kind of funny, and, you know, to be like, through our veils we shall kiss.
But it's a cool, like, room. It looks like almost it's underground, because there's trees growing through.
It's really cool.
And there's water in the bottom, but there's bones and skulls everywhere.
Yeah. Again, we need to make one.
We should do that.
We haven't a cult show ostuary.
We need to make one of those. One thing that he says when he does a lot of monologuing, inner monologuing in this movie. And when he first sees her, he's in bed kind of laying there thinking about her. And he says, you know, she's the most beautiful living woman I've ever seen.
Yeah, very funny.
So, like, you have
to caveat add. There. Yes. Yeah. There's a cat running around. We don't get to see it very much.
Not very much, no.
But I was still like, cat.
Cat.
Cat. So there's, like, these little blue fire ghost will-o'-the-wisp things, and they're kind of pervy because they're, like, really lonely. And they're kind of around, but they were charming.
They were very charming. I call them the burning blue marshmallows.
He's just like, oh, it's fine. They're just, like, here. And then they kind of make an appearance later in the film, but that's also just kind of it.
Yeah.
They're just there that time. And so they're going to have their first sensual encounter on her husband's grave. Because she's like, I have no secrets from him. I shared everything.
Wants him to know what's happening.
And so we think that it's been enough time that he doesn't pop out.
Right.
But he does.
Although before, remember, there's the picture of him on the grave.
Yeah, he looks so confused, like, in the picture.
And the picture changes a couple times. Like, so when they're intimate on top of the grave, the picture's now like, you know, like he's all upset.
He looks so confused. Yeah. Like, how did I get here?
Again, it's funny. It's a funny movie.
It's funny. And it's supposed to be funny too. Yeah. Not unintentionally funny. So he pops up and he's got, like, a root coming right out of his head.
Right.
So he's not super happy, as she kind of was hoping.
Right. Understanding as she thought he might be.
She thought he was very understanding. He was not. Bites are not transmissible.
No, apparently.
But you should still be careful with that.
Yeah.
She does get got.
Yep. She gets a bite in the, was it the neck or the arm?
I think it's, like, the neck, isn't it?
I think so.
I think he later gets bit on, like, the shoulder or arm, but she gets, I think, the neck. And she dies, but of course... Our guy, the engineer, He doesn't quite have like the heart to bury her.
Right.
So he's just kind of got her laid out and covered up for a while.
In the ostuary.
In the ostuary, because she loved it there.
Remember she said, it's like in my dreams.
Yes.
When she walks in.
Very funny. You know, we're moving along. He's still got this dead body out there. Business is booming. there's like this one part where he's talking how he's like, I've only read two books. And then like, that's a lie. One of them is the phone book, which he's obsessed with phone books, which is really funny. And it reminds me of this John Waters quote. I'm sure everybody's heard. I'm going to probably paraphrase it wrong. But he famously said, if you go home with somebody and they don't have books, don't fuck them. And yeah, red flags. Red flags with this one.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, you'd go back to his shanty.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, this is nice.
That's why he just keeps finding women who like to do it on the graves.
I found at least one.
You don't have to worry. At least one, yes.
And he just kind of drinks wine and smokes and looks at the phone book. And like circles names.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I guess people who pass in the town, he likes to cross them off, you know, as they're...
Oh, there's
another
one. As they
expire and there's another one and
yeah,
keeps track of them maybe. I don't know.
And Niyagi, at least for a while, has a TV.
He does for a while. Because, well, even before. So Niyagi... And his name is Francesco Della Morte, but the engineer.
The engineer is just easier.
Yeah, so they go on a ride into town.
Oh, God.
Because I think was it to get him ice cream?
He promised him ice cream if he finished a grave.
Dug a grave quick, yeah. And they go in and they meet the mayor who's sitting there. The mayor is very friendly. You have to give him that.
Oh, he's always on because he wants to be reelected very badly. And we meet his family, including his horrid daughter, who's like, she just really likes Niyagi right away. She thinks he's really just like cute and sweet. And she's like, buy him, daddy. Which is like, and she calls him like an it. And it's like horrible. Like, she's just like, oh, I love it. It's so sweet. It's like absolutely horrifying.
But Niyagi is also simultaneously falling in love with the girl.
Insta love all around. Yes. Right. And he pukes on her.
He does. He's
so excited.
He is so excited.
But she doesn't care.
She thinks it's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
And then was it?
Claudio pulls up in his motorcycle. Well, hey, babe, let's take a ride.
And she's like, I'm covered in puke or whatever. And he's like, huh, new fad. So hilarious. Just such like a... Oh, and like Claudio and all his friends with their motorbikes.
Yep.
And everybody in the town thinks the engineer is impotent. And they really love to catcall him whenever he's around. And they're just so mean. And they have these huge cell phones. And like, just like they're like bad Euro like teens. And it's like, it's such a weird time and place.
It is. Anyway, so yeah. So the daughter, I can't remember her name. I forgot to write it down.
Oh, I can't remember her either. Shit.
She jumps on the bike and just takes off.
Takes off with Claudio and the friends.
The boys. Raising hell out of town, driving on a country road way faster than they should.
Yeah, and you know, she's spoiled rotten, so the mayor's like, oh, the youth.
The youth of today, that's right.
And they're so pure or something like that.
But they meet a bus.
They take that turn too fast while they're racing.
Yep.
So they kill a bus full of Boy Scouts who were just getting back from like a church function.
A picnic, yeah. It was a picnic. So... Claudio and the mayor's daughter, they get creamed. The daughter's head gets crushed by the bus, basically.
Yeah. The whole bus crash is really funny.
Yeah, and then the bus goes over the edge, and then the poor horse has to watch it happen.
Yeah, at least the horse is safe.
And it's hysterical, because in the very next scene, cut to, is a cemetery with, like, all these caskets coming
in. It's just like a parade of them. And they're singing this weird Boy Scout song that's like way too happy for like... And, you know, he and Niyagi, like, you can just tell they're like, we're going to be so goddamn busy. Not even just with the burials, but with whoever's going to wake up.
Well, what's funny, though, the lyrics of the song were never should have gone on the Boy Scout picnic. That's what they're saying. So they're like saying it's never should have gone on the Boy Scout picnic.
It's so good.
And it's all these kids, all the boys laid out, and then the daughter's in a glass.
Yeah, she's in like a creepy glass Snow White coffin. Ooh.
And then like Claudio's just got almost like he's twisted up in the motorcycle.
And they just like put it in
the whole thing. Yeah.
And then like when some other girl that he dated that seems to be in love with him, she's throwing a fit. Claudio's mom is throwing a fit. It's just a scandal. It's just a scandal in the cemetery. Valentina.
Valentina. Yes. Valentina, very good.
She's in my notes.
Very good.
So turns out some people are going to come back. The Boy Scouts are early and they're really
bitey.
They're chompy. They're awful little people.
Little guys.
I mean, at one point, isn't it just like a steady stream of corpses?
Yeah, yeah. They all come in at the same time. And he's, again, like you said, he has bad timing. He's in the shower. And engineer's in the shower when the first one attacks.
And Miyagi's downstairs and he's got headphones on watching TV.
Yes.
Haley was sitting next to me. She leaned over. She's like, "Oh no, his AirPods are in." Like, you know, deliberately being funny because those are like, they're like these weird Italian headphones.
Oh, okay.
But it's like, yeah, that's their AirPods, basically. So it's kind of funny. Like, Miyagi just really can't be bothered.
No. And even once
he's on his break.
Yeah, exactly. It's his time off now. It looks like he was watching footage from the early war. The war.
Yeah, there's like a missile or something.
Well, yeah, it was. What was the war in the early 90s with Iraq?
Desert Storm.
Yeah,
Desert Storm.
It looked like when they were doing all the launching, they would show us on the news a Scud would go up and the Patriot missiles. That's what it looked like he was watching, which took place in the right time ish. Right. So. It could have been.
Further just adding to the absurdism of the whole piece. Right.
But, yeah.
I mean, this too much. I have to drink.
That's okay. But, yeah, the Boy Scouts are coming in, and so they have to dispatch the Boy Scouts, of course, which, I mean, it's like any zombies. When there's a group of them, they become harder to deal with.
Yes.
Than just a single. So, but luckily.
Unless you have a revolver with infinite ammo.
Oh, yes, which he does. He has a revolver that just, I mean, we see him at one point making like some special ammo, but it just never runs out. And the man can't miss a headshot.
Typically, yeah.
He's real good.
He's a good shot. There's no question about
that. They'll also use a spade. They'll use a grave marker. He and Miyagi, they'll use whatever they have to.
But unfortunately, he does miss the one where he shoots poor Nagi's TV.
And I wrote, "You owe him a TV."
You do.
It's so sad. It's like on fire. Like, oops. So that happens.
Nagi was really upset. He was not happy to lose that poor TV.
Oh, that's where, the teenage girl, because they go out and they're like combing the cemetery. And that girl from the gravesite earlier, she's laying on Claudia's grave. And I almost thought we had a salt burn. And I was like.
A reverse salt burn.
And I was like, is this where? No, it was original.
Yeah.
She's just crying and doesn't want to leave him. And
he tells her earlier another good – Engineer has a lot of great lines. And one of them is when she's harassing him about him.
Is it true? Do they come back?
Right. And he said, "Go away. I haven't got time for the living."
So good.
Just another one of those.
He's got so many in his
– one of his dry British delivery.
Oh, it's just so spot on. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
So Claudio on his fucking motorcycle literally comes roaring out. Very Eddie.
Very Eddie from Rocky Horror.
Bless my soul. I really love that rock and roll.
That's what I
immediately
thought.
Eddie's my favorite character, too.
Of course he is.
So I was like, oh, Eddie. doesn't work out eventually. But he, like, takes the girlfriend and he's like, hop on. And I don't know, they're just, like, joyriding through the cemetery or something. So
until he goes to feed on her.
Yes, and she's like, he's only eating me. It's fine.
I'm allowed to have anyone eat me who I want.
Yeah. And
but of course, he shoots. He shoots Eddie, and unfortunately, Eddie's head happens to line up perfectly with hers, and the bullet goes through both of them.
It does, because he's probably kind of mushy. Oh, hi, Zeno.
That's a good point. Zeno and Christy is with us also.
Hi.
So another good line happens when he shoots them both, basically. He says, "The living dead and the dying living are all the same." Like, wow. Okay.
He's got a lot of them.
He's got some zingers.
And it's a lot of them are very philosophical.
Yes.
Like that.
But he buries them together because he wants them to be.
He's sentimental.
He's
sentimental and he's a romantic, as we know.
That's right. They'll be together for eternity.
Speaking of romance. So Nyagi's been waiting for Valentina to wake up, and he's telling him, just be patient. She'll come around. And will she eventually? He can't wait.
No, no more.
So he goes to her, but she wakes up in there.
Yep.
And so he like gets, he breaks the glass. And remember, her head wasn't really super well attached anyway.
Right.
So he takes that out, and she's just plumb happy to be there with him. She's like, oh my God, I remember you. You're so cute. Basically. And so the best part of like the whole movie is really when her head walks away.
Yes. He goes, he walks away. He's playing the violin.
It's, he's playing like a,
like a,
what's that?
It's a box of strand.
It's a violin. It's just
a weird,
homemade?
Yeah.
Really crummy one.
Homemade one, I guess. But
yeah, he loves to play that thing.
He's doing a little Pied Piper-y dance and going
her
away.
Her head's just like,
and the head's just following behind.
With the veil.
And we're both like, oh my God, it's the walking head.
Hey.
Coral.
It's the walking head, Coral.
Anyway, yeah, it was, I don't know. It was like, it's a really sweet scene, but it's also hysterical at the same time.
And that they're just so happy, like, and that he's happy and she's happy. And
that a head is just somehow
mobile and fast.
Maybe her tongue is like, bloop, bloop, pushing.
I was
wondering
if it was like a couple, like, I don't know, somethings under there.
Right.
Well, head tendons?
Maybe, yeah.
Some
maybe
musculature?
Like, maybe like a little fang action?
Maybe the spine?
That could be, yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows?
So we can't forget about she.
She, because she has to come back.
And she does.
She does.
She looks kind of pretty. There's like a lot of leaf litter and things.
There's a lot of bushy things growing out of her. This is one of the coolest scenes I like of the film because it kind of builds.
Yeah.
Like there's the music and the ambiance and the wind and everything. And then
sorry, Caleb.
Yeah. And then it gives way to the appearance of her, you know, a lot of wind. She's got a pretty flowy thing on, and it's all blowing behind her.
It's like the shroud he put on her or something.
And there's like nice light behind her, kind of backlighting her. It was pretty. Because
you like see the billowing fabric and you're like, what is this? What is coming?
Right.
Yeah. And she, this is also kind of part where I knew it wasn't a goof. I don't think it's a goof that she takes the gun and puts it in the water, but then the gun mysteriously comes back.
Oh, I just assume they got a new gun.
Oh, okay.
I just assume.
See, for me, I was kind of like, that's where I started to be like, wait a minute. I think that things aren't really happening.
Got it.
Some things are really happening. Some things aren't really happening.
Well, they even did that one thing where they did like a dream.
Yes.
Yeah, so, oh, we're going to a dream. Yeah. But then it's like.
Very Wayne's World.
Right. But then all of a sudden it's like, no, it actually happened. And in his mind, I guess. So, yeah, you're right. Like, what exactly?
He's an unreliable narrator, so we don't know what's really happening happening.
Yeah. We don't even know what the hell. The whole thing could be in his mind for all we know.
I mean, there is enough evidence that the dead are coming back, but maybe they don't do all the things he thinks they do.
I don't know.
So she comes back, and he gets bit. That's when he gets bit.
Yeah, she bites him.
Yeah.
But then Nagi
intervenes.
Nagi intervenes and gives her a spade in the back of the head.
That's right. Had to be done.
Yep.
She was out of control.
She was. You can't go around biting people.
Rude.
Jeez. Come on, Nikki Haley. I mean, she.
Nikki Haley biting everyone. So we get to see some more of his hilarious devotion to the phone book. And, like, I don't know. I guess every once in a while they just go through and burn stuff.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, no, just because they're out of date. Or he's like, those are classics. He's acting like they're Shakespeare's folios, right? And you get this really cool shot through a burn hole.
Yes, that was really cool. And then all the
ash
forms and makes the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, and I called it an ashy Grim Reaper. But he's cool, though.
Really cool.
He's really
cool. I think he's really cool.
And he's got some very wise words to say.
Yes, he does. He says, stop killing the dead.
Go kill the living.
If you want to keep them from coming back, kill the living. Yeah. Shoot them in the head. But in a much better voice than that.
Yeah.
It was very deep and, you know, commanding, as the Grim Reaper would.
As you would imagine. So, busy night. Busy night, because we still got these dead coming and stuff. And I put in my notes, this job will drive one mad, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
The mayor is very corrupt. And so he shows up at the cemetery because, well, first of all, he was like sad that she died on like election eve or something like that, his daughter.
Yes, yeah.
But then he shows up because he's like trailing in the polls and he's like, I need a picture with the corpse. And then it can be like, hey, like, you know, how much you lost somebody? I have to.
Yep.
And like, he's just kind of used
He's going for a sympathy vote.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
they dig her up. And of course, there's no head.
And it's so good because now is where we're starting to see the engineer just living for the chaos. This is very much some men want to just watch the world burn.
Right.
He's becoming even more disconnected from reality. And he says the plot thickens. And she's dug up.
That was
and
pretty funny.
So she's calling to her dad, and he thinks she's alive. And she's like, Daddy, Daddykins.
Yeah, Daddy Pie.
Oh my God, it's so hilarious.
That's pretty funny.
And then Nyagi set her up in the busted TV, like she's on the television constantly, and they're singing.
Yep.
And he's playing, and they're singing. And he's like, what are you doing on TV?
Were they singing the... Were they singing the Boy Scout thing?
God, they might have been.
I think
they
weren't
singing the same Boy Scout song.
Really? Okay.
That's hilarious. So, that mayor doesn't last long.
No, well, his own daughter takes him out because they're like, hey, we're Daddy, you want to get married? And
yeah.
He's like, hell no, you're not marrying this guy.
Yeah, he's super rude about
over
her.
My dead body. And she's like, okay. Right? And then somehow she manages to fly out.
And gets him.
She pulls a Dr. Hill's head from Reanimator 2.
Yes!
Minus the bat wings. And just like comes out and does a bite right in the neck.
Very much that.
Yeah. And then this is the only sad part, if you will, of the film, really, is when Francesco shoots poor, what's her name? Valentina. You know, again, I guess she's supposed to kill the dead, but.
So she was starting to go off.
It even
she
says
was,
that
that's right.
She's starting to go off. Very
right.
British, yeah. And, like, it's just kind of funny because it's like they've both killed each other's significant
right.
others. So it's like you and I. It's like we're just back here together in the end.
Yep.
Back on our bullshit, the two of us.
Here we are
without
again.
Caleb here.
So one thing we forgot to mention thus far.
Oh, dear.
The police chief.
Who I think is American.
Okay. But the funny thing is all these – things, these crimes, these dead people keep showing up all over town. And the police chief, and all that points to the engineer doing it.
Yes.
But the police chief finds every reason he can to not arrest him for it.
He thinks it's this and that. And it's just really funny because, you know, the engineer is, again, he's becoming less attached to reality. And so it comes to a point later where he's like, I did it, basically, but it's like no one's listening. It's like he's screaming into the ether and nobody's listening to him.
Right.
So now we get a new mayor who seems fine, just kind of wants to ship shape. I don't have to look into your business. You don't look into me.
Yep.
there's a part where he visits his friend Franco at the, I don't know, the town hall or something.
Yeah.
And he wants to make a complaint. He wants to talk to the mayor. He wants to talk about these corpses. And he has to fill out an M3 form. And you have to find the form. And he's like, ugh, I just don't want to do all this. So the mayor shows up with the M3 form.
Right.
That he does not remember filling out. He's like, oh, Franco must have done this for me.
How nice of him. And of course, the new mayor is like, you need to sign a refute to this because,
yeah,
you know, we don't want to deal with this crap.
Yeah.
And at that point, the engineer's like, yeah, fine. It doesn't happen. I don't know what happened here.
We're done. So the mayor's assistant is like a doppelganger of she. So there's on the like archway into the cemetery in Italian, it says resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And they flash on this a couple times because now in his mind, it's going to happen again too, where he believes she is being resurrected. And... like, you know, they fall into like their insta love thing, and she says that like I really don't like erections, so like I can only be with you if it's the rumors are true that you're impotent. And he's like, yeah. Yeah, that. So he tries to actually have himself castrated.
Yes.
But the surgeon's like, I got a lot going on, I don't want to deal with this today. He tries to talk him out of it. instead, he gives him this whole, the whole scene in the surgeon's office is absolutely comedic.
Yep.
And it's over the top. It's very exaggerated. And he instead gives him this big shot in his sex organ.
Yes. Which is very painful.
So again, this
The engineer.
So since the engineer, and it's just supposed to make him impotent for like a while,
right?
And this is like funny. Again, Haley and I are leaning over Kiki, and we're like, you should never go to the gynecologist. I'm just telling you right now, y'all wouldn't like it. So,
but this whole storyline, when you introduce the she two or whatever, right?
She two.
And then I actually called her the widow two, widow three or whatever. But anyway, but it's just the whole thing about the whole that she only can love an impotent man and the whole thing. It's just
it's so silly.
It wouldn't affect the story really if you didn't have that in there.
No, it's more for the silliness, the absurdism.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it helps drive him into his descent
spiral.
It's funny.
Yes. So then. Plot twist. She's actually with the mayor now.
Yes.
He like thinks he's dying basically from this shot. And poor Nagi's trying to nurse him back to health with soup. But she shows up and makes a really not, oh, it's so cringy. You could hear the whole theater do that intake of breath thing, like that. Like the air just gets sucked out of the room. She makes like a joke about the mayor sexually assaulting her and it cured her. And now she loves erections.
Yes.
So I do think obviously that would not fly today. This joke would not fly. But I think that they were going for furthering the absurdism and that itself was supposed to be a joke because it's supposed to be horrific. And like, I think that was part of the absurdism, and I don't think it landed, especially not in 2024 and God's green earth 2024. But I get what they thought they were doing there.
It seemed to have a deliberate purpose, whether it did it well or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just like, goddamn, every fucking older movie, every movie, no wonder our society has so many problems.
I don't know. I mean, I turned out fine.
Look at this model citizen.
Look at this mug.
This mug.
But okay, so poor engineer now is like, son of a bitch.
Lost her again.
I took the shot. Now what's cool, again, another cool thing for the production of the film, she's explaining the whole thing to him, and she's walking around him, but the camera's following her.
Yeah.
So he's in the middle the whole time, but the camera's turning with her in the background. He's in the foreground. It's kind of a cool way they did it.
It's very cool because it's also him kind of like, it's like it's all slipping away from him. It's all out of his control.
Right.
And so it's almost like just reflective in the camera work.
Yeah.
And how she's kind of like, but we can still be friends. He's totally supportive of us being friends. And like, he's great and stuff. And it's like, oh God, he's made a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
Luckily, he doesn't have to wait long for the next resurrection.
That's true. Yes. There's a new girl. This one has a name. Her name is Laura.
Laura.
Yeah.
So Laura and her friend meet him in town and they need a ride. And so he's like, basically, I think he's just going to tell him to fuck off. But then he realizes it's my resurrection girl. And he takes him home. And they invite him up. And of course, you know, he's immediately besotted with the girl and she seems besotted with him.
Right.
They go to her room. He tells her like, oh, I got this shot thing. Turns out the shot didn't work. In fact, if anything, it made him like Viagra'd.
It did seem to help a little bit, yes, in that department.
He goes to the kitchen for a cup of wine because this is Italy after all.
Yeah.
And the friend is like, there's other girls, they're all like college girls that live there. And she's like, did Laura tell you you could like pay me? And he's like, what? She's like, yeah, it's just going to be this. Isn't that a great deal? And he's like, but she told me she loved me. She's like, it's going to be a few more lira. She told me I could spend the night. Yeah, it's like 100 more lira. She's like, college is expensive. Like, what do you want? So it's like,
he's kind of like, you take a check?
Exactly. So he doesn't take to this well.
No, not at all.
And I mean, they really should have disclosed that this was a transaction.
Right.
That's kind of not cool. So he maybe overreacts by setting them on fire. Because she's like half asleep and she's like, oh, I'm cold. Come cuddle me. And he puts the space heater in the bed and puts a blanket over her. He's like, you'll never be cold again.
You'll be warm forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I think that pretty much solidified his true.
He's gone.
Could not give a fuck at this point.
He's gone.
He's pretty much gone at that point. So, yeah, he goes. Was it the next? I guess the next day. Then again, the chief comes along.
Yes.
Even has a piece of the check that he yes. he wrote.
And he still is like, but don't worry, you're clear. This other guy confessed to it.
He killed his wife and daughter too.
Right.
And he's like, I'm sorry, who is this? And what he's upset about is that someone is stealing his murders,
right.
stealing his crimes. Again, he doesn't have a lot going, so it's kind of like this is just too much for him.
Yep. And it ends up being his friend.
His friend, Franco.
Franco.
So, he has to get more Franco about this, obviously. He's just so, like indignant. And so indignant about this. So, he kills a hospital nun, and he kills a doctor, and he kills a regular nurse.
Yes.
And turns out, like, when he's like, Franco, why? Why did you do this? Franco's like, who the fuck are you? Like, so there'd been a couple of, again, Easter eggs in the movie where he says things to Franco. He talks to him on the phone a couple times, where he tells him in person, gosh, you're the only person that makes me feel like I'm even alive, like I'm even living, and I don't know if you're real, Franco.
Right.
And, like, so you can tell this is, like, some probably made-up relationship in his mind. Bummer.
Yes. But the absurdity in how he kills the doctor, the medical staff, as he's come in one by one.
It's more like they're prolonging him trying to get to Franco.
Right, right.
So he's like, oh, like, just stop.
Right.
I just have to shoot you in my crazy headshot. I mean,
he shoots the nun, the sister, and then she's on the ground. And the doctor walks in and says, what are you doing on the floor, sister? And the engineer says, praying. And she's, of course, like face down on the floor.
I mean, it's like, but, oh, my God, these jokes are so funny. And if you're not laughing, I swear to God, you just have to be there. You just have to watch it and watch it play out and you will be giggling.
Yes.
So now he and Miyagi are going to hit the open road. They've never left town.
Mm-hmm.
Very Truman never. Show.
Yes.
And so they're going to get in his little car and they're going to take off and they're going to see the world. What happens, Neil?
They drive. They leave town. They see the sign, now leaving Buffalora.
Yeah.
And they're both in, they're like, whoa, I've never gone this far before. And they cross this town limits. And they almost hit a biker, a guy riding a bike. Yeah. He's like, Nagi does his little,
yeah.
And he's like, I know, I missed that one. I'll get the next one. But they go through a tunnel, a pretty long tunnel.
Yeah, and he's kind of theorizing about the world and what's out there. Oh, that's right. Before that, though, scene I really love is when they're like going to take off, the Grim Reaper talks to him again.
Oh, that's right.
And he tells him, how are you going to, because he talks about, like, he just wants to die or something. He's like, well, how are you going to die if you don't even know the difference between life and death? And it's like, that's good. That's good, because he's not really living here in this town.
Right.
This is his whole world.
Yeah. So then they make it through the tunnel and then immediately slams the brakes on because the road ends.
And Naki hits his head.
He does hit his head really hard.
Really bad. Yep. Literally, the road just stops and there's like a chasm.
Yeah.
Basically, it's the universe telling him, you're not going anywhere. There's nothing for you. This, your cemetery? You're the cemetery man.
Yeah, that's it. But.
Yes.
Okay, so this is where I want to hear your thoughts. Because.
Yes.
Nagi comes out and effectively dies, or at least passes out.
Yeah, at least passes out, even if he's not dead. It's hard to tell. Resurrects.
Yes.
And starts speaking.
For the first time.
Which is, we've been led to believe he's nonverbal. And he says, take me home.
Yeah.
I want to go home or whatever. And this time the engineer says his, like, thing that Nagi always
says. Nagi always said.
It's kind of like they flipped.
They swapped, yes.
And then it's like snowing. And then they showed this little snow globe earlier, and now he and Yagi are in the snow globe.
Yes.
Rosebud.
Very rosebud. Very nice.
So what's your interpretation? Do you have one?
I think that this happens over and over again. They're caught in one of those.
It's a loop?
Yeah. And now, but it'll be swapped when they go back. And Nagi will be the lead, and Rupert is now, the engineer is now the Nagi.
Yeah, and he's his assistant. It's kind of like his Igor is, I think, what they were kind of going for. I love that. I love that. See, for me, I think it's again, his slow descent into madness.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're literally stuck or literally stuck in a snow globe. It's they're, you know, mentally stuck.
Mm-hmm.
They're spiritually stuck in this rut somewhere between life and death. As they tend the cemetery, that it is in itself somewhere between life and death.
Yeah.
yeah. And again, I can't express enough how much I love just how absurd and weird and nihilistic like the whole movie is. And, you know, clearly the end there is them. For however they're stuck, showing they're stuck.
Right.
And that's clearly what the filmmaker was trying to show us is maybe there's just lots of ways a person can be stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it might be.
Spiritually.
Spiritually. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, again, I found this movie a hoot.
Me too. Hoot and a holler.
Hoot, holler, a hoot and nanny. I mean.
Made me think.
Yeah.
What about how dumb that cop was in the hospital when he said, oh, good, you have a gun.
Oh, that was one yes. of my favorite parts when everybody's trying to evacuate the hospital. And he's like, with this pistol. And he's like, good, you have a gun. You can defend yourself. He just does not see that he
has the ultimate plot armor in this movie. He cannot be captured.
Yeah.
I have a theory.
Okay, good.
What's your theory, producer Scott?
I think that all of this is everything inside of this snow globe is the limbo delusions of a dying man.
Okay. Ooh.
I think the dying man might even be Franco.
Ooh, look at you.
There's a lot of talk about being, you know, on the side of life and death and what's the difference between the living dead and the dying living, and
yes.
And there's all this exploration of impotence and powerlessness and power and I don't know. I think it's an exploration of just dying.
Interesting. Okay.
I love that. I buy that. I buy that for a dollar.
Take it.
So for funsies, let's take this with a little grain of salt.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes we like to look up like the trivia and stuff on IMDb and little facts and stuff. Again, these things might not be true. So just for fun, let's read a couple.
But we're on IMDb, so we're going to hope that it is.
Fingers are crossed. The ossuary, a crypt for bones, that was used in the film was quite real. Supposedly, one of the crew members removed some of the bones from the ossuary during filming, but quickly replaced them the next day, claiming to have encountered an angry ghost following the removal of the bones.
Okay.
I love that. When Francesco and she are kissing in the crypt with the shroud over their heads, the shot mimics the painting The Lovers by René Magritte.
Oh.
That looked familiar. In the late 1990s, when Rupert Everett gained some popularity in America, he approached Michel Soavi, the director, about doing an Americanized remake.
Oh.
But it never materialized. So I think he really had some love for this project.
All right, cool.
The sets used in the cemetery in the film were built upon actual abandoned cemetery grounds in Italy.
Oh.
According to the director, the returners, which is what they call the zombies, get their energy from the mandragora roots in the cemetery. Ooh. Which makes sense while they're all kind of rooty.
Yeah,
and there's like roots. A thing where the roots almost like a vein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The mysterious floating lights that hover around Della Morte and she as they are kissing upon the grave are supposed to be ignis fatuus, which means fool's fire. It is a naturally occurring fire-like light that sometimes has seen during twilight in swampy areas. And I've heard of that. It's called like swamp lights and swamp fire and stuff.
Okay.
But these ones, like, aren't they giggling?
No, yeah, they're like laughing and like little cherubs or something would, you know?
Yeah. The hard rock tune one can hear every time there's a motorcycle on screen is an instrumental version of Ozzy Osbourne's No More Tears.
Oh, what?
Allegedly. An American company was willing to fund and distribute the movie if Matt Dillon was cast as Francesca. Absolutely not. This is Rupert Everett's role.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry, no. Nobody else could do this role.
No, the dry wit of an Englishman, yeah. You know what I mean, is what helps sell it.
Yeah.
Quite honestly.
And of course, this one's kind of obvious, but the translation of De la Morte, De l'Amore is of death, of love.
Yep.
Perfect, which is just ties into the whole life, death, love thing of the whole movie. It's perfect. In 2009, the horror website A Shot in the Head chose Anna Falchi's boobs from her nude scene in the film as number one on their list of the top 10 boobs in horror movies.
Okay. I didn't know there was such a thing. I should have guessed and figured.
Clearly. Music group Tangerine Dream were originally supposed to compose the soundtrack but dropped out due to scheduling conflicts.
Oh.
Wouldn't that have been something?
That would have been cool, yeah.
I'm sorry. Is it? I'm stuck on the boobs thing. Is sure. it top 10 boobs? Like it's top 5 women?
Yeah, love that on International Women's Day. Like, because they're not people. Those boobs do not belong to that woman. God forbid. They're just their own entity. For the film's Spanish release, it was humorously retitled Mi Novia Es Un Zombie, meaning My Fiancé is a Zombie. Doesn't quite have the same ring.
So I married a zombie.
So I married a zombie. The film was an international co-production between Italy, France, and Germany.
Hmm. Okay. Took 3 countries to make that movie.
Yeah, one would not suffice.
That's right. Take some big guns. Well, I'm very happy that you love the film. I already said I think it's fantastic.
To the macabre.
So to the macabre, to the Austrians in the world.
How about a game?
Let's play a game. We need about a minute, guys. Hello.
That's a thumbnail if I ever saw one.
Oh, was it? Hang on.
You can go back and grab that.
Welcome back to the cult show.
That's why I love this desk. Everything feels formal. I fucking love here at the desk.
This is absolutely becoming a thing. No, we're making this.
You guys, I've said this so many times. I want to do a whole fucking show from this desk.
We gotta do it.
This desk makes me feel alive. It's something has to.
It's like our own private ossuary right here.
We just need some booze.
Top news at 6. Nikki Haley bites someone on the neck.
It's because I didn't text her back.
That's right. Nikki Haley, she drops out because Trump got some scoop on her and her zombie ways.
She's a returner.
We vote for her then.
It makes it sound like she's just somebody that chronically returns things at stores. She's a returner.
Look, she goes to Kohl's incessantly returns.
Buy shit and returns it.
Returning the crap from the checkout aisle that you don't want to buy. Okay, hey. We're playing a game.
How's this game work?
All right. This game is called Celebrity Headstones. And I picked the word headstones because I just kind of like it, because that's what Craig T. Nelson says, James Cameron in Poltergeist. You know, he's like, you just remove the headstones. So, because otherwise you call them like a tombstone or a grave marker. I don't know. Anyway.
Million names.
Okay. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give some clues as to whose headstone we are looking at. And then once you get it, we'll show you the full unedited stone.
So this is producer Scott and I trying to guess these.
That is correct.
Okay.
And some of them are going to be really easy. We'll start with a couple of easy ones, and then they'll get a little bit harder. But
I don't think
it'll be as bad as you think it could be.
Okay, I'm excited.
So it'll be scared. Fun. It'll be fun. Just don't look at the answers though.
No.
You don't want to.
I don't want to. I want to get ruined. This honestly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Are you guys ready for number one? Here we go. This man was, it's hard to see, but even on his tombstone there, it says the man of 1,000 voices.
Oh, Mel
that's
Blanc.
That's all, folks. Mel Blanc, Scott. Very good. Of course, everyone knows him.
It's
as,
a that's all, folks. Thing.
That's all, folks. So you can advance. There you go.
Yeah. And that's Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny. Yeah. All those Merry Melody cartoons from way back when. Mel Blanc. And he, by the way, died at the age of 81.
Yeah.
He lived in from 1908 to 1989. This is the Hollywood Forever Cemetery that he was buried in.
I've never been there, but I really want to go to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. I think it's so cool. I want to watch a movie there someday.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I will join you when we finally go down for the Universal Horror Nights. We'll have to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, tombstone, headstone, grave marker. Number two. This one is in Nine Mile, Jamaica. It's the name of where it is.
We're going to let him read the whole thing. Don't interrupt.
You might be able to tell from the colors and the Jamaican colors who this might be. Probably Jamaica's most famous musician.
Bob Marley.
Very good.
It's really
cool. That is Bob. It's his home. It's his, the grave is in his actual home they lived in.
What's up, Army Beef?
Wow. Hello, Army. So Bob Marley passed away May 11th, 1981, at 36 years old.
So
crazy
young. Can you believe if like it's one of those things? Think about him. You think about the 27 Club and all those people.
There are several
like
that are on
so
here.
So talented.
Like that. It's crazy.
It's just mind blowing.
Yep. All right, number three.
Chat. You can say whatever you want. They can't see you right now.
Yeah, we can't see you.
I mean, I can, but I'm not. You won't spoil it for me.
Okay, this grave is located at the Holy Trinity Church in Stratford-upon-Avon.
Stratford-upon-Avon.
That might give it away right there, possibly, because you know it's a Brit. Any guesses yet based off of that?
Shakespeare.
It is Shakespeare. Oh. Very good. William Shakespeare.
I love Bill Shakes.
Good old Billy.
I fucking love William Shakespeare, you guys. So does producer Scott, and so does Neil.
I go for a good Shakespeare, yeah.
Yeah.
I have read several
many
a story.
That's
several
like
words.
Volumes.
I he have has read several
back
words.
When we were trotting the boards.
I have read a few words.
Hark.
Romeo. That's it. Stop right there. I gave up after that. All right. Next, we have a guitarist.
That's Joey Ramone.
That is not Joey Ramone.
It's a Ramone.
It is a Ramone.
Can I still get a point for that?
You absolutely get it. But this is one of the founding members of the Ramones. So any other Ramones you know of?
Jim Ramone.
No. It is a J, though. You were really close.
Jerry Ramone.
I'm really bad at names. I love the Ramones.
Okay.
James Ramone.
So this is at the Hollywood Forever
Jessica
Cemetery
Ramone.
In Los Angeles. Johnny Ramone.
Johnny Ramone,
yes. Johnny, pretty cool. Pretty dang
cool
headstone he's got there. So Johnny died on September 15th, 2004, at age 55. Interesting note, the Ramones were not related.
Mm-mm.
That was just a surname they all picked, basically, because they liked the idea of it, because Paul McCartney used to use it when he would check into hotels.
Yeah.
He would say, I'm Paul Ramone.
Yeah.
And they thought that was cool. So they all used the Ramones.
Ramones are so fucking cool.
Yeah. They don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery, though. We know that.
They live their lives again.
All right. Next up, we have this. This is definitely a marker.
She did it the hard way.
She did it the hard way. This is
very similar dates as Mel Blanc.
Okay. Interesting. This is an actress.
It might be the same dates.
This is at Forest Lawn Memorial Park in L.A.
Okay.
She won a Best Actress Oscar in 1938 for the film Jezebel. Nothing yet? Okay. She is well known for playing very unsympathetic characters. Very big in the 30s, 40s. I mean, you know, 30s
is
through 70s. It is, in fact. No, it is not Joan. It's the other
Betty?
One. It is Betty. I was thinking of a Baby Jane, so my brain.
Yeah.
But yes, it is Betty Davis.
I honestly couldn't remember which one of them was in Jezebel.
That's okay. That was a long 1938.
I was young then.
You were very young back then.
Yeah.
So no worries.
She did it the hard way.
Betty Davis passed away at 81 years old. She lived from 1908 to 1989.
Damn.
Yes. Next up.
That's hard to see.
This one, yeah, it's just a little marker there. It's in Woodlawn.
1948 to 1995.
95, yep.
Okay.
Woodlawn Memorial Park in Florida is where this person is buried.
Oh, I see the face on there.
Can you see the face?
I can see
left
the face
there
on there.
Is it Bob Ross?
It is Bob Ross. Very good.
I love Bob Ross.
The most, probably the most famous television painter.
Oh my God, look at like the name. That's so cool.
I mean, Bob Ross has become a bit of a meme and stuff. I grew up on Bob Ross. I love him.
Yeah.
He informed so much of my philosophy.
Interesting. Yes. It is funny how he is just so... He's such a huge part of society's
pop culture now. I mean. And there was even somebody recently who was talking about Bob Ross, and Scott was like, but Sandra really legitimately loves Bob Ross. And I was like, thank you. Sandra does.
I went to...
it is a happy little grave, Todd.
It's a happy little grave.
I went to a training, to a projector training in Dallas, if you guys remember, like, what was that, 2 years ago or something?
I remember that.
And we had to actually learn how to do these projector things and then take a test, the whole deal, like 3 days.
God damn.
And the whole time they had the Bob Ross on TV in the background. And there were so many times all of us would like lose focus and start watching.
Yeah, just Bob zoning Ross. Out and being like, I just feel good about the world.
Exactly. It was pretty funny.
Bob.
Okay, next up. This one's going to be a little bit harder, I think. On the grave there it says, I'm a writer, but then nobody's perfect.
I love it.
Okay, so this person, this is, by the way, is in the Pierce Brothers Westwood Village Memorial Park and Mortuary in Los Angeles.
Okay.
It's got a very long name. This person was actually born in Austria. They started out as a reporter for the Viennese newspaper.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It is not Arnold. It is this person later moved to the United States of America, became a really famous director, producer, screenwriter.
Yeah.
Some of this person's films were very famous.
Huh.
You would know them as in Some Like It Hot.
Well, that's why I figured it's got to be whoever wrote Some Like It Hot, because at the end of the movie, that's the big joke. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sunset Boulevard. Even the original Sabrina.
Is it DeMille?
It is not DeMille?
I can't remember who.
I know, it's a hard one, but...
I love Sabrina, I don't know. Too. I love that movie.
Okay, this one is Billy Wilder.
Oh, yes.
Billy Wilder. Sorry, that's a hard one. Billy. That's a hard one.
I do love you, though.
We love you, Billy.
You did some cool shit.
No one in chat got it either.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's a hard one. All right. Next up. Bum-ba-dum.
Oh,
we have another one. What's that say, Scott? I can't read it on these.
I've had it all. I've done it all. I've seen it all. It's all about love. God is love.
And I even have his actual name, God-given name, if you will.
Would you like, it is James Ambrose Johnson Jr.
Does that help at all? Okay. This is at Forest Lawn Cemetery.
Is it Jimi Hendrix?
It is not. In Buffalo, New York. This person was a singer of funk and pop, made it big in the late 70s. Nothing yet?
I'm not a fuck. Is this Rick James?
It is Rick James.
Oh, Rick James, bitch.
It is. He was a super freak. Very good. Rick James died at 56 years old.
He looks so much older.
Yeah, in 2004.
Todd got this one.
Oh, good job, Todd. Good job, Todd. Good job, Sandra.
I got there.
All right, next up.
Ooh.
This one's interesting. This one, the grave was actually located on a little island in the middle of a lake.
I like it.
You cannot go to the island unless you're super special, but you can view from the banks of the lake.
Guinevere.
Tis not. This is located Althorp, Northamptonshire. Excuse me. Northamptonshire. This is where this
Hamptonshire.
Is. Hamptonshire. Thank you.
Princess I should Diana?
Use. Very good, Michael.
Wow.
Michael called it. Princess Diana is the answer.
That's so cool. I didn't know her grave was on a little lake thing.
Yeah, I did not either.
Finally, someone.
She finally gets some fucking peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again,
she
passed away August 31st,
1997. Yeah.
Yes. Michael.
She had to be part of that weird family.
She did. Luckily, she wasn't born into it, at least.
She got out.
You know?
Yeah.
But, all right, next up. This is another famous gentleman. I'm going to give it to you, gentlemen. Go ahead.
I will not be back. I will not be right back after this message. Oh.
So that seems like a newscaster or
at least someone on TV.
Host of something.
Exactly.
1925 to 2007.
So this person is buried at the Pierce Brothers Westwood Village Memorial Park and Mortuary, just like Billy Wilder in Los Angeles.
Angeles.
let's see. Okay, so this person had a television empire you definitely would recognize.
Merv Griffin
is the answer.
Ooh.
Ding, ding, ding.
And you know what's funny is I don't like game shows.
Yeah, well, you know, he created Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy.
Wow.
So that's some...
Wow.
fun.
We were talking about this at some point. Like, Scott and I remember watching Wheel of Fortune when we were little with our grandmas.
Oh.
And then at some point, it fucking changed.
Everyone is told to scream on that show.
They scream and they lose their goddamn minds on that show. And it's like, when did this change? Anyway, sorry.
I guess it's what they thought the new generation needed. No whammies.
Oh, Army Beef. I was thinking Bob Barker as well, but I think he just died a couple years ago.
Or like last year.
Fun story, though, as a side note, we just saw...
Drew Carey.
We didn't mention that. We forgot about
I know. Complete surprise. We saw...
Whose Life Is It
Anyway? Whose Life Is It Anyway?
And Ryan Stiles wasn't going to be there.
So they pulled in the goat.
Yeah.
I mean, it just takes an hour for Drew Carey to get here from L.A. And if you're not going to have Ryan Stiles, you gotta go big.
I almost preferred Drew Carey. He was funny.
He was very funny.
He was hilarious. He was a lot more blue than the other comics.
He was, and he was very much like, I haven't practiced. I've not done this in years. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. Like, it was very funny.
It was fun.
They bent him over a chair for about 15 minutes, literally.
Not let him get off the chair.
He did. That was fun.
Revenge.
That was a good time. He even came down and picked one of us to go on stage. You wonder who that was.
Next episode, we've got to put the pictures up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
And you did great.
That was cool. I was just happy to get to meet Drew Carey.
He did the game where you make the sounds.
Yes, yeah. The sound effect game.
It was probably ill-advised of you to lick Drew Carey and claim him as your own.
He didn't seem to mind. It's the cease and desist I got afterwards. That
he kind of shrugged it off in the moment.
He did. He went with it, but then he realized.
This is all true story, by the way. This is 100% not a bit.
I wouldn't give him the mic back. Like, no, it's mine. No. Yeah, I'm staying here. Yeah. Screw you, Greg Proops. Okay, this next one is one of the most famous and infamous famous people, famous and infamous at the same world, same time.
Charo.
Charo's not dead.
This is at Forest Lawn Cemetery in L.A. It's if you look at how the opulence and the grandness of it, who do you think maybe would be considered?
Can we get a year Fabio. Or anything?
They died in 2009 at age 50.
I mean, it could be so many people in Hollywood want an opulent memorial.
Remember, it could also be a musician.
Yeah.
Or something.
A lot of entertainers, I should say, would love an opulent memorial.
This one went through a lot. There's a lot of, controversy now about this person.
Okay.
Doesn't
narrow it down.
They once dangled a baby out a window.
And oh, Michael Jackson.
That is Michael Jackson. Yes. Michael Jackson's.
I mean, wouldn't you say they tangled a baby out the window?
Because he did.
Right? I know, but it's like that's really going to narrow it down.
It is, but he was considered a king of, I don't know. You're going to go Elvis. But anyway, okay. Next up, we have. All right, this is a comedy duo, very famous silent era. Then transitioned into talkies. One of my favorites. Of all time from that era. This is Forest Lawn Memorial Park, again, in L.A. They're a British-American. One of them was Brit, one of them was American.
Okay.
I guess you could only a couple you could probably name, but...
Elvis and Costello?
It is not. It is not that one. It is
Laurel and Hardy?
Laurel and Hardy, yes. Okay. Very good. Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. They are buried... Oliver Hardy died first, and then a few years later, Stan Laurel
Abbott
passed.
Abbott and Costello. What did I say?
Elvis?
I said
something.
I'm going to have to roll back the tape on that. I said something wild.
We're going to go to the tape.
I'm not ever going to correct
you, Scott. I didn't know you were like big fans of these folk.
I do like these guys, yes. I always, I don't know why. I like these guys. But it's a sweet story is that when Oliver Hardy passed, Stan Laurel did not go to his funeral because he was basically so heartbroken. And he also, I guess, was kind of sick himself, but he was just so heartbroken that he said he would understand. Hardy would understand. But anyway, they're cool guys. All right, next up we've got...
I said Elvis and Costello is what I said.
Like Elvis Costello.
Oh, Elvis That's what Costello. I said.
I love it.
Oh, well, I just...
Oh, well, there's that one.
I just spoiled
that
for...
No, I did not.
Okay, well, the chat saw it. That's okay.
Okay. I see a horseback.
Yep, you got a horse. You got some, was it deserty looking area behind there? Okay. Like Monument Valley-y looking maybe?
Okay. Cowboy.
Pacific View Memorial Park and Mortuary in Corona Del Mar. So this is Southern California, a little further south than L.A. This person.
Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood's first body. sorry.
This guy is well known. He's a well known actor in the Western films.
John Wayne.
It is John Wayne.
Yeah.
John Wayne. Spoken about in the Birdcage. If you remember.
Yeah, just walk like John Wayne.
I'm gonna give you an image. It's a cliche.
Chat's getting on my case now, so thanks for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Excellent. All right. Here you go. This is one that I've actually been to.
This looks cool.
I've been to. This is at the Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris. A famous rocker, part of your club, that died early.
Oh, 27th, yeah.
Yep. It is. He was known for doing some poetry in addition to song lyrics and regular music.
Okay.
They're very heavy in organ in their music. The name of their band was something that you have to walk through when you want to enter a building.
The Doors.
The Doors, yes. So that would be
Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison. Very good.
You have to walk through.
Okay. Oh, so it's
fire.
fire.
Todd, you get half points for Mr. Doors.
I wonder his connection to Paris. Did he like to be buried there? I don't recall.
I didn't remember the movie, if he lived there or what was going on. I don't recall.
I'm not like a huge, like, crazy Doors fan. Of course, gotcha. I enjoy some Doors music.
I'm kind of the same way, I think. But when we were there, I wanted to go to that cemetery for that because it was cool.
It's hella cool.
I bent down there and like, I took a little rock.
Oh my god, are you haunted by Jim Morrison now?
Jim Morrison haunts me.
You took a little rock?
He just sits in the back of my bathroom and goes, just kind of, you know, no shirt either.
It's actually giving, it's actually giving Buffalo Bill.
That's cool too. He's there also. Him and Jim Morrison are in my bathroom.
I think, oh my god, we should do like a seance in your bathroom with The Rock.
The Rock?
When, by that I mean Dwayne The Rock Johnson comes and does, yeah.
Who else would you mean?
Oh my god, you're Cemetery Rock, you vandal.
Anyway.
Do you have some respect for the dead?
I did. That rock is a piece of, you know.
Where is it now?
Church. I'm not sure.
It's in your driveway!
It is in my backyard, probably. I planted it to try and grow a new Jim Morrison.
He's pour wine on it.
Okay, next up.
Funny.
Producer Scott. All right. This one, this is a sad one. This is a father and son.
Oh, I know this one.
Do you know this one? Just from that already?
Brandon Lee and Bruce Lee. Because I've seen this.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is Brandon Lee and Bruce Lee. Absolutely. Yeah. This is at the Lakeview Cemetery in Seattle.
Mm.
Let's see. Bruce Lee died on July 20th of 1973 at age 32. And, of course, his son in 1993 at 28. Yes. Sad, sad, sad. Both of those.
I love The Crow. I almost love The Crow too much to talk about it on this show. You know what I mean? Because what if, where somebody is mean to it, then I'll be sad.
Okay.
So it's like sometimes, you know, bring your precious.
Yes.
But I don't know.
Believe me, I have one movie right now that I'm never going to bring to the show because I don't know
what it is. I know. We all know what it is.
No, actually, I don't know if you do.
Is it Heat?
No, it's not Heat. No.
Oh my god, this would be a fun game. I'm just gonna keep guessing it for the rest of my life.
That?
But
is it no.
But you know what? People are also like they're up in fucking arms about the new Crow. And they need to calm down because the old Crow isn't going anywhere. Like you just have your new Crow. We have our old Crow and it's fine.
Have a little faith in Skarsgård, see what happens.
We love a Skarsgård.
That's right. You never know.
Yeah.
Wait, which Skarsgård is it? Is
the
it
only
it's
one.
Skarsgård?
Which Skarsgård?
It's Pennywise.
It's Pennywise Skarsgård.
Which is
so the only Skarsgård.
It's like one,
they're,
two, and three.
Famously, like, Skarsgård brothers.
Why am I flaking on his first name? Chat, help me.
It's Skarsgård. That's fine.
It's Skarsgård. Yes, Pennywise Skarsgård.
I've got too much going on in my head right now.
Bill? Billy? Bill?
No.
James.
Oh, no. Chat's trying to guess your precious now.
My precious.
Is it horror?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's okay. It is definitely not what I thought it was going to be then.
Okay. Next up.
I have to know.
Next up. Here lies buried the body of
blank. I may be gone, but rock and roll lives on. Oh.
This person died in the 80s?
This person died in 82 at age 33.
Ooh,
yes, this is at the Chilmark Cemetery in Chilmark Cemetery, Chilmark, Massachusetts.
A super cool tombstone.
Yeah.
And I love the inscription.
All right, so it's going to throw you a little bit by that writing, because this person, they were a musician, but they were really more well-known for television and film, I believe. They were an original cast member of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, Jim Belushi?
The other one.
John Belushi.
John Belushi.
Fuck, sorry.
It's okay.
Are they both dead?
No, right? Jim's still alive, but...
He's still with us?
John Belushi, yes, died at 33 years old.
Insane! So young. So young.
Considering how much he accomplished, too, with his, you know, between the movies and they get going early.
This game is like Memento Mori, you know?
Right? All right, what do we have up next, Producer Scott?
Ooh, love that.
This one is very large and ornate.
Yeah. It's gorgeous, very Grecian.
Yeah.
Is this in New York?
No, this is actually at Our Lady of Mercy Catholic Cemetery in Doral, Florida, which is close to Miami.
Miami.
You've got that style.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team.
What is happening?
They take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Is that a real song?
We're on the ground, we're is in it? The air, we're always in control.
Okay, this must be a real song.
And when you're talking Dolphins, you're talking Super Bowl because we're the Miami Dolphins. I got possessed. What happened? I blacked out for a minute. What's going on?
Is that must be their little
that's
fight
their,
song?
That's their fight song, yes. Yes.
That was hilarious.
Sorry. Can I cool me down a little bit?
You were possessed.
I was. God damn Jim Morrison, I told you.
Jim Morrison, I wrote that song. I wrote that goddamn song for the Dolphins.
Give me my rock back. All right.
Just made me spit out my beverage.
Let's see.
Oh, yeah. This.
Okay, this person was the lead in a hugely popular sitcom from the 50s. They did movies as
Lucy.
Well. No, this, but that's very good, though, actually.
Okay.
They died at 71 years old.
Bill Skarsgård.
Is it Bill Skarsgård? Okay. There you go.
Miss Movie Buff recognized her song.
What else about this person? They were known for their large stature. They are male.
Jackie Gleason?
Yes, very good.
Wow.
Jackie Gleason.
Wow, that's a very interesting. I don't know hardly anything about him, but
right.
I would wonder the backstory behind that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it's just I was rich, so
yeah.
Like a big, you know, ornate thing or what it was. Yeah. Maybe it's got other family members there also.
Yeah, maybe it's like a family tomb for you?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Could very well be. Interesting note about the Honeymooners, which of course is one of his more famous things. That was only on for a year.
Wow.
Like, you hear anything about it, you think that show ran for years and years, but it was actually on for 1 year.
How crazy. Oh, the TV was different then.
Right? It was, yeah.
Chat kept saying Bill, and I didn't know what they were talking about. Bill Skarsgård. Okay.
Yeah. Chat, is this real?
I was like, Bill, are they, because it was after they were guessing, like, your horror movie.
Only, like, Chad, is this real? Is this whole fever dream episode, though? Chad, is this real?
Caleb does. Caleb knows my... He knows my...
That's not fair.
My precious, but only because Caleb has known me for so long.
I don't know.
Okay, next up...
Is it a Freddy movie?
It is
no,
not.
No, because we're going to do all the Freddys.
Yeah, we'll do the Freddys. We've got to rank those. Okay, this one, everyone knows this guy. Again, one of the most known musicians of all time.
John Lennon.
I can't even say where it's located because you'll get it from that. It is not John Lennon.
Elvis.
It is Elvis. Elvis Presley. This, of course, is at Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee.
The family's buried there.
They are. Yes, they are. I had to shrink that picture down so you couldn't see Lisa Marie on one side and all these things. Yeah. And then one of the Keos, right? Or the son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Okay. Next up, we've got another.
It just says in.
So we've got an actor who's got a great sense of humor.
Right, because it's supposed to be like a marquee or an opening thing in this.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
It's pretty.
This person is buried in Westwood Village Memorial Park Cemetery in Westwood, California. They died at the age of 76. Again, this is someone that I actually quite liked as an actor. played the original Felix Unger, if that helps at all.
Oh,
Was in wait, some like a
wait, 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 wait. Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon. Whew. Very good. Jack Lemmon in.
That's a great. That is a great gravestone. I want to steal that idea. Not that I'm going to be buried.
You're going to be shot into space, aren't you?
If only.
I know it.
That'd be fucking awesome.
You just shoot him right at the space stations. All right, next up. This one is located at the Greenwood Memorial Park in Renton, Washington. Yeah, I had to black out a couple spots because there's one of his face up there you can't see right now. And, of course, the name is a signature on the side.
So it's a man.
It is a man. It was considered – this person was a left-handed genius guitarist, if you know any.
Not good at trivia like that.
Okay, had an infamous set at Woodstock.
Is it Jimmy?
It is Jimmy.
I do love Jimi Hendrix. I think I remember that now that he was left-handed, and that's like a whole thing.
It is, yeah.
I was raised on Jimi Hendrix.
No, that is Jimmy. He's got a very, very nice.
So we got a baby
resting place there. Okay, four left, people. Then we'll let you go home.
All right. 1926 to 1962.
This torture will be over.
That's it. All right, this is an actress. I'm going to say it's probably one of the more famous actresses of all time. Obviously, you can see that.
62, that's probably 60, Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe is correct. Westwood Village Memorial Park in L.A.
So sad.
Died at 36 years old. Another sad one for sure. Some Like It Hot, another kind of common tie there. We've got three people involved with that film.
Love it.
All right, next one, another sad one. You might get this one just from looking at the tombstone. I tried to leave a little Easter egg on there.
And it looks like a name in maybe like Hebrew. Yeah.
But in the upper left-hand corner, can you see what that says, Scott?
Hamster?
Hamster.
Oh, Corey Haim.
Corey Haim.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Hamster, what I think Feldman called him that.
Yeah.
Yes, 38 years old. He passed away in 2010, March of 2010. This is located at the Padre Shalom Cemetery in Vaughan, Canada. All right.
I thought it said hamster.
It does look from this far away.
Like the guy that wrote the hamster dance? Yeah.
All right, next up, second to last, we've got...
Ooh.
There goes the...
neighborhood.
There goes the neighborhood.
Very funny.
All right, this is a comedian.
Okay.
Did stand-up, also did lots of movies. This is one that I actually quite like a lot. This guy makes me laugh, made me laugh, especially if you watch him on, like, older talk shows when he got up there. He is buried at the Pierce Brothers Westwood Memorial Village Memorial Park and Mortuary. He's an insult comic.
Wait, No Respect.
Yes, that guy.
What's his name?
Rodney.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield. That is Rodney Dangerfield.
That's very funny good. Tombstone. I like it.
Yes. That is the Rod. Okay, last one.
Rod the pretzel rod.
Last one.
Is the feed lagging for everyone or just you?
I don't know.
Open widget.
Widget open.
Okay.
Open the pod bay
we door. We only do the best we can.
Ooh, pretty.
All right, this is a mother-daughter memorial site.
Is it Gypsy Rose?
It's Debbie. It's Debbie and Carrie.
It's Debbie and Carrie. Yes, very good.
I hate it. Where is that?
That is at Forest Lawn Memorial Park in L.A.
I will absolutely visit theirs and probably cry a lot.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a statue of a mother and daughter there.
It's beautiful. It's
a very sad story of, obviously, Carrie passing away in December 27, 2016, and then her mother, Debbie, dying the next day.
Love them.
Yes. But that is it. That is the conclusion of Celebrity Tombstones.
That was a fun game.
You guys did a good job.
Thank you. You did a good job.
Congratulations.
Good game.
Good effort. All right. What's coming up next?
We're almost going to let you go from this hostage situation we have you at. So in honor of women in horror, we're going to throw it back to one of our queens of women in horror, Jamie Lee Curtis. And our next film shall be Road Games. Which is available on lots of streaming services for free or not free.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Fun little film if you haven't seen it. Yeah. Australian.
We're
if
going
I recall.
To Australia.
Very nice.
With Stacey Keach.
Stacey Keach and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Hitting the open road.
We like that. Awesome. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks. It was fun.
Thanks. It was fun.
Yee-hoo.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Kayla. We hope you feel well soon.
Feel well soon. Don't get dysentery, Kayla.
Good luck. Everyone in the chat, as always, we love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining us. We can't read you because we're too far away.
Sorry we held you hostage. Don't call it.
That's right. And if you do, we won't answer. Just like the guy in the movie Wars, he will not find us. He won't arrest us.
The Culture is filmed before a live studio audience in Santa Rosa, California. Check out the video version of this podcast on YouTube, or find us online at theculture.com. We appreciate you listening and hope you can leave some positive comments. Thanks again and talk with you soon.
It's probably ill-advised of you to lick Drew Carey and claim him as your own.
Yeah, you know.